Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome, good morning. Well, we're in the last stages of the 3 weeks. Tuesday, of course, is Tisha B'Av, but we're going to discuss that more in detail in a few moments. And have in the studio with me my colleague, Dr. Jonathan Mark. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good morning. You never mentioned the weather, so I think I'll mention the weather. And I just can't believe this beautiful weather we've had this season. We've had one or two cold snaps, but you know, I woke up from my hush. I dove in the morning and I woke up here and there's beautiful roads and the air's and the sky is blue, and you just have to be grateful for having great weather, because there's many places around the world that it's either too hot or it's too cold or it's too wet or too dry.
Well, it's the end of July, and of course August is the windy month, that's what they say, so it's already becoming spring. And of course I must also welcome my controller this morning, Tabo. How are you this morning, Tabo?
I'm good, and you, Isaac?
Good, good.
How are you?
Good, thanks. So, as you said, it's beautiful weather. And of course, as I mentioned a week ago or 2 weeks ago, you know, we have the shortest fast for Tisha B'Av. The fast will come in on Monday night at about 5:38, and it terminates on Tuesday evening at 6:05.
Yes.
But if you go to the Northern Hemisphere, although the fast will come in later, say around about 9:30 in London, but it comes out at about 10:40. So, you know, that it's not so bad when it comes in, because you know you've already had your meal, and you go to shul and you say all the kinot, the eicha, etc., go to sleep, but then when you've got to wake till 10:40.
Yes, I've been in London once and I've been in Scotland once, and Scotland's even worse. It's after 11:00. It's a very, very long day, and it's a strange day, because you know Yom Kippur is actually a beautiful day. It's you don't drive, and you don't go to work, of course, but on Tisha B'Av, you know, you got this, it's mixed. It's a bit strange. You drive your car and you go to work perhaps, and you know it's a national sad day. You know, it's a very sad day, and you have these mixed feelings. You know, Chazal said, you know, it's you can drive. I mean, Yom Kippur is like a Shabbat. Yes. So I remember walking the streets of London, hungry, and then places like JLE, Jewish Learning Exchange on Golders Green Road. It says Ivan Ziskin and Akiva Tetz there.
Yes.
And
correct.
A few South Africans working there. They would have special programs from like Hopo 7-8 to deal with it. Three, four hours of lectures.
Right.
Which was very inspiring. But it is actually quite strange to be there 10:00 at night and there's still daylight.
Can you imagine if you're in there, even in Scandinavia?
Yes.
In Finland.
Yes.
Where there's, it only comes, the sun is never actually sets. It's just 12:00 at night.
Yes.
And so they pull the curtains, dark curtains, to tell you that it's nighttime. Otherwise you would never know, you know.
So the other side of the world, Antarctica, probably Tisha B'Av is like 2 minutes.
2 minutes, I
suppose. It's such a short day. But, these are the things one has to deal with, you know. We have the, might have the shortest day of Tisha B'Av. We have the longest Tikkun Leil on Shavuot.
Yeah.
Where those in the Northern Hemisphere have a very short night. You know, that they dove in, I think, 3:30, 4:00, Shachris.
But can you imagine now, you're in a spacecraft.
Oh, yes.
How would you commemorate Tisha B'Av there? Because within 2 hours, you've got right around the world.
Yes, on Shavuot, I've forgotten the author. It was by some rabbi who did some, investigations with us. How do you keep Shabbat?
Because
it comes up for 2 or 3 hours every day. It was, I don't quite remember the argument. It was an interesting thing, but it's almost like a thought experiment. But I think there was one Jewish astronaut.
Yes, there was one.
Was he one that who passed
away? He was killed.
When the capsule broke. What was it called?
The capsule exploded when it took off.
Just forgot the name, come to me now. But, I think he made the inquiry, and I think, well, some of the Gedolim were did paskin on this, and
yes.
But can you imagine once a day you're having 2 or 3 hours of Shabbos and everything that goes with Shabbos? You can't work, and you must make kiddush, and you must, you know, these are the things that technology opens up. Yes. I know Rabbi Kurtzluck, the last few years, 15, 20, very interested in technology and Shabbat, from lights to lifts to all kinds
yes.
of things.
You know, you get, there's the Institute of Technology in Israel, and the Jerusalem Institute, where you can have now a lift that goes up and down, mm. but it's not controlled electrically. It goes according to weight.
Yes.
It stops. And also you get the telephone. It's called the Gamma telephone, the Gamma telephone mm. as well. That's in case it's a doctor needs an emergency. You know, they phone him at home. So, mm. you know, they've of all this technology
yeah.
now.
Yeah. So I'd like to mention two of my three kids. My third kid is a lawyer. He's striding away there in interesting cases. But my youngest son was in New York. He's just arrived back in Yerushalayim this morning. He's coming out here, on Friday, Monday morning. But he's bringing 13 Bokrim, first year Bokrim, who are studying the yeshiva in Yerushalayim, Torah Chaim, to South Africa for a tour. But while he was in New York, he was with Rav Schiller, who's the Rosh Hashiva of Osamach, and he shadowed him for a day or two, and he went to a fundraiser, which he said was amazing, on the 32nd floor in Manhattan. And he raised a significant amount of money. Why I'm really bringing that is that us Jewish people, we all over, we one family. Right. And maybe that leads into some idea, deep idea about Tisha B'Av, because if one Jew hurts, we all hurt. And if an institution in Israel needs money, there are donors, potential donors all around the world. So that's the one side. The other one is, which I think we can discuss now, is I was not aware that a siyum can push away the restriction of meat in the 9 days. How does this come out? My middle son, who's in Cape Town, he went to an evening, I think it was on Wednesday night. Wednesday night, where they had a lot of rabbonim, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Smith, and whatever, and they had a siyum. The chief rabbi, siyum ashas, and so the basa basra, some people had done, and deshu, also, and they had a 3-course meal that included meat. And I thought that was a new fact. I've never heard of it in Johannesburg, but it's interesting that a siyum, which is the completion of a tractate,
yes.
pushes away the restriction of a suda.
Right, right.
And I think we mentioned on the June the 16th is the role of education. So this is education that is stronger. It's so central to Yiddishkeit. Yeah. So what are your views, have you seen this before?
Yeah. You said your son is going to, they're bringing out these students, these young Bochrim, for a tour.
Yes.
So they're going to tour Johannesburg or South Africa or what?
Yeah, they're coming to Johannesburg, South Africa. They, you know, the Bains of Manim, which is the holidays, the break in Israel,
yes.
is August.
It's August, right.
So we usually have December, they have August. And Moshe Dov is bringing them out. So they'll be in Johannesburg. They're staying in the hotel here for two and spend Shabbos. And please God, we'll be our new house. Hopefully we can have them for dinner. Then they go off to the Kruger Park and they find a house there and they're off to Cape Town and they'll be there for another Shabbos. And this is becoming quite popular. The, what I call the 3-stop tour here
right.
is you come to Kosher Glen Hazel. You go to the Kruger Park and you go to Cape Town.
Right.
And many, many people, they love that. Because in Cape Town there's kashrut here, and then they make kosher packages for the Kruger Park.
You mentioned the tour, you're right. On the 10th of August, that's in about 2 weeks' time, there's a group of Israelis school teachers
yes.
coming to South Africa, and I'm taking them for a tour, and I'm going to...
tell us the itinerary, after the break?
No, it's only going to be for Johannesburg.
Oh, okay.
We're going to go to all the old synagogues. We're going to go, for example, to the War Memorial at West Park Cemetery. I'll be taking them to Yeshiva College, to the Sandringham Gardens. We're going to go up Kallenbach Drive to show them the original home of Kallenbach, Herman Kallenbach, who was...
Who was he?
Kallenbach was an architect, and he befriended Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, yes.
Gandhi stayed with him. And then...
This is the Linksfield Ridge.
Linksfield Ridge.
The Kallenbach Drive. Yeah. From the bottom of Sylvia's Pass, you go.
Yes. I've done this tour before, 2 years ago. I had some other teachers as well. And then we'll go to center of town. We'll look at the great synagogue, the old great synagogue, with the Moisrich, which is now a heritage site. You know, we'll tour.
Is it a one-day, you say?
One-day tour, yeah.
How many did you say?
There's about 16 teachers coming.
Wow, you're taking a bus.
Taking a bus.
Yeah.
Well, I've done this before quite a few times.
Yes.
And then also for the Kollel Yad Shaul, I've taken quite a few tours. They bring out Rabbi Grossness's son, comes from America, and he brings out all the Bochrim, who's studying at the yeshiva where he is.
Yes.
And we do a tour also of Johannesburg like that as well. Yes. Now, well, one of the main things I want to mention is, we're going to take a break in a few moments, is that when you're at the top of Kallenbach Drive,
yes,
the top there of Linksfield Ridge, rather, you can see the whole of the King David campus, the school. You can see Sandringham Gardens, and you can see the, you know, the Yeshiva College and the Selwyn Siegel. But there's something that very people don't know about. If you ever have seen the top of the Sandringham Gardens, it's in the shape of a Magen David. I wonder how many people know that. If you look at it.
Yes, with the buildings.
The building is the shape of a Magen David if you look
so
at the above.
If you, from above.
From
you
above.
Can you see that from Kallenbach?
Sorry? You can see it from there. If you took a helicopter ride, you'd be able to see it. Right.
Was that designed specifically?
Specific design.
Who was the architect?
I'll come back to the moment. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Yeshiva College, you see the Sandringham Gardens, you can see the Selwyn Siegel. But I mentioned that if you look down and you saw the Sandringham Gardens, it's built in the shape of a Magen David. And Dr. Mach asked me now, who was the architect. So I'll mention his name in a few moments. Let's put out that question to our listeners. Who was the architect? And you can text us 34519, or you can call us on 0746547335. And I'm sure many of you remember when that Sandringham Gardens, and it used to be called the Witwatersrand Aged Home, was built in the 1950s, in 1954. It was opened by the chief rabbi then, Dr. Louis Rabinowitz, and there was a lot of controversy.
You were there?
I was there, present, definitely. And there was a... Tell you why, there was a sculpture done there by Hermann Wald. I'm sure many of you remember him. And it showed you a man tearing kriya.
Yes.
Tall man. And underneath was a famous quotation, which I'll quote in a few moments. And a lot of people said, you can't, how can you have a statue there? You know, you're not supposed to have any statues against it. So the third commandment. And Louis Rabinowitz defended it. And I must mention the rabbis who were there, so that you can't say that wasn't agreed upon. You had late Rabbi Alloy there. You had Rabbi Rosenzweig there. You had Rabbi the one from Berlachagi, Kasovsky was there, Michal Kasovsky. You had leading Gadolim, leading rabbis there. And that Rabbi Rabinowitz said, look, this is not an idol. This is a man tearing kriya to show it was just after the Shoah. Mm-hmm. But at the bottom of the statue is a famous quotation. Unfortunately, they have now removed it. Somebody decided, I was very upset about it.
When was it removed?
It was removed about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, yes.
And I complained about it, wrote letters about it eventually, but this statue now is in Cape Town. And
Wait, as far as I know. Who decided?
One or two people. And the following is the quotation. Don't forget, it's in the grounds of the old age home. It reads as follows. Remember man as I am now, so you will be. As you are now, so once was I. Therefore scorn not me, rather come succor me. S-U-C-C-O-U-R. In other words, this was a statue to the old, to people. You know, you don't laugh at an old person.
No.
Because one day you will be old.
Yes.
And don't forget, he was as young as you were many years ago as well. That's a famous quotation. Now, let's ask another question. Where does that quotation come from? If you do know, SMS 34519.
You know what, wait, before you say it again, please. To the listeners out there, oh, I'm a witness here that Isaac is saying it off by heart. Please say that slowly.
Remember man as I am now.
Yes.
So once were you.
Yeah.
Therefore, well, I'll cut it short. Yeah. Well, you want the full one again?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember man as I am now. So once was I, as you are now, so once was I.
Yeah.
Therefore scorn not me, rather come succor me.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Beautiful.
You know, don't laugh at me because I'm old, but you were also going to get old and I was also young as you are now.
Yes.
And that was the famous quotation and it comes from a very, very famous, poet, a person very well known, an English poet. So if you do know, you can.
So where was the statue actually?
And the entrance as you drove into Sandringham Gardens.
To the reception area.
The reception, right in front, a big, massive statue. As a matter of fact,
just removed.
I will email you when you get home later a copy of what the statue looked like.
It's interesting that you must have 1954 because, my late grandfather, my father's father, Shmuel Moch, there's actually a wing called the Samuel Moch.
You know,
when you come out of the synagogue by the dining room, the Samuel Moch wing, and that's the
and
family.
And also there's the Forsberg Mayfair wing as well.
Yes. Because I think they sold it and gave
all the assets from it. And the chairman at that time, the president of the Hebrew Kedishin at that time, was a famous man called Oscar Getz.
Yes.
Remember Oscar Getz.
And Rachel Getz.
And Rachel Getz was the daughter. She was a doctor.
Oh, Oscar was the... I thought they were husband and wife.
No, that's Oscar. His daughter, Oscar.
Yes.
The daughter was Rachel Getz.
Yes.
She was a very famous doctor.
Yes.
That's
and she also had a position there.
Yes, she was also...
a position.
Right. So that's it. Now, let's just get back to Tisha B'Av. You know, there's a lot of restrictions as well. Mm. For example, we don't eat meat these 9 days. Tisha B'Av, except for tonight we can because it's Shabbat and tomorrow, and you can drink wine tonight.
Mm.
By the way, you could have drank whiskey the whole week or vodka because it's not made from grapes. And then on Tisha B'Av, you don't wear shoes. You change your shoes. You mustn't wear leather shoes.
You can wear shoes, but not leather.
Yeah, but leather shoes.
Yeah.
You don't wash your hands in the morning, you know, like the complete hands when you do Nitzilat Yadayim. We don't put on talis and tefillim in the morning because that's an ornament. Don't forget we're in mourning. And then in the afternoon for mincha, we put on talis and tefillim.
Mm, mm.
Now, if you go into the shul, the ark curtain is pulled away. You know, the curtain of the ark is pulled aside. You sit in the semi-dark. They don't put on all the lights. In some shuls, they actually put candles on, the light candles. Mm. You sit on a low seat or you sit on the floor. And don't forget, we say all the kinot, the dirges with the lamentations by Jeremiah. We start with Eicha Yashvata Ba. That was the most beautiful one I ever heard, was the late Rabbi Eloy. To hear him say the Eicha was something unbelievable.
Mm. Also, some people take on not greeting each other.
You don't greet each other until midday the next day on the 10th. You know, until the middle of the day of the...
You should not eat meat,
fast. And then you don't have a haircut during these 9 days or during the 3 weeks. Some people also don't.
Mm.
And then only on the 10th of Av, that's the day after Tisha B'Av, after midday, can you have a haircut.
The reason being?
The temple was still burning.
Yeah.
And also then you can change clothes And, you know, you get back to normal as well.
You know, it's... let's talk psychologically now. You know, we do all these things, and it's admirable, and I go with them all. However, I do think that people sometimes get so involved with the habit that they don't really reflect back on the psychology. And sometimes I think this is how I see Hashem, is if we forget about it, he'll teach us lessons. And this whole thing going on the Temple Mount now with, you know, the riots going on and the metal detectors and whatever. In a way, one must be reflective and say, why is this happening? And there must be a higher force behind it. And yeah, we can get onto the whole political things and metal detectors, as we discussed before, when you go to an airport and when you go to wherever.
The Vatican, if you go to the Vatican, you go through a metal detector.
Yeah, wherever, you know. But when we forget, the message will come back. And what is Tisha B'Av all about is really, there are lots of tragedies, but the temples were destroyed.
Two temples.
And because of that, we're in a much lower status, especially with many of our 613 mitzvahs. Many of you can only do when there's a Beit HaMikdash. So sometimes you have to stand back and say, what's the message? And I think it is because people do all these things in the 9 days, but I don't think the awareness, they're mindful of the actual reason. They don't generate that feeling. They tick, 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 and that's fine. I think that's a start. But what they call the cognitive, the intellectual side, the emotional side is not quite there. And all these things about coming in and sit down low with the lights off, that's mourning. We're mourning. And what are we mourning about? And what lesson can we take from it and take forward?
It's the saddest day in the Jewish year.
Yes.
It's the saddest day in the Jewish year.
Yes.
And we please pray, B'ezrat Hashem, for the coming of Mashiach, that possibly we won't have a Tisha B'Av this year. Now, well, I just got a text here that says, you know, I'm mentioning all about, taking the tour of these teachers. Don't go downtown, Isaacs. It's a churban. That comes from Ephraim. That must be Ephraim Milner. I can tell you, I know I've been downtown. It is a churban, but you've got to show we had a rich history, a rich past. I mean, if you went to the great synagogue, it was unbelievable, or the Berea Shul, or you went down to Beth HaMedrash HaGodol. I mean, these were institutions, these were unbelievable, where there was a big Yiddish community flourishing. But you have to show them the history.
Yes, I'm with you. I hear what Ephraim's saying, and he's absolutely correct. But I think sometimes we just have to encounter reality. We can't just whitewash, as it were, and just forget that we had a past, even if it's not in our liking. And you know, it's the history of the world. Our first show in early January was about the wandering Jew, and we do wonder. And in every country, perhaps some are more stable now, but if you look at London, the East End, if you look at Brooklyn, if you look at, I think in Sydney as well, what was Jewish areas now is...
New York.
New York is full of this. So we need these memories. We don't have to go there every day, but we do need to know where we've come from, because that gives us roots.
Right.
We can't just, you know, ignore the past. Then what's our identity? And, you know, I've been down there, a few times, and some parts of the city center is actually very nice. But I think we're talking about the actual shuls. When I was went to Potch, you know, you asked me 3 weeks ago to go Potch, but the shul is now a designer for fashion. So it was. But, you know, our shul in Observatory now has been taken over by a family, and it's being lived in as a family. But for 19 years, it served a purpose.
Correct.
But, you know, I don't have any regrets, but I need those memories to spark me to, you know, to who I am as a Jew.
Yeah.
And, I think, I would, Hatzlocha Rabba on taking these teachers. Yeah.
Right. We're going to take an ad break. We play some music and we'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
So we just tuned in. We're talking all about Tisha B'Av. And we got a texture that says, tell us about Tu B'Av, the Jewish Valentine's Day. Well, you know, the Jewish Valentine's Day is when all the maidens used to come out and dance. A lot of weddings take place on Tu B'Av. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that after Tisha B'Av next week and give you more details.
So Tu B'Av is the 15th of Av.
15th of Av.
And Tisha B'Av is the 9th of Av. So this is 6 days after.
Yes, 6 days after.
So we go from deep depression, as it were, to great joy.
Great joy. Now, I just want to mention, Shabbat comes in this evening, 5:21. Shabbat terminates 6:13. Parshas Devarim. Now, to remind you that Monday night is the beginning of the fast of Tisha B'Av. The fast comes in at 5:38 p.m. and terminates on Tuesday evening at 6:05 p.m. And also on Tuesday morning, we will not be having Talk of the Town because it's a fast day. There's a special program for Tisha B'Av all day. And then next Friday, again, Reflections of the Past. But on Sunday, I do have the Art of the Cantor. And I'm going to play a special Janeer of Chazonim. I'm playing Yosela Rosenblatt. I'm playing the two Kusevitsky brothers. I spoke about them last week. I'm playing Moshe Kusevitsky and David Kusevitsky. I do have a recording by Simcha, but it's very, very bad, and I have to have it digitalized. I'll also be playing Yosef Eidelman. And in that same genre, I'm including David Bagley. He was in Johannesburg, and also Shalom Katz. And then I'm going to play a very special one again. I've had so many requests. I don't know if you heard it last week. Berla Chagi, Shingi Misi Osanisim. What did you think of it?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
It was absolutely, it's a masterpiece. Mm, mm. And he was only 18 years old. He sang that at the Carnegie Hall in New York. And he got a standing ovation of about 20 minutes. Mm. And by the way, that recording was made in 1920, but it's been digitalized. So I'm just going to put that in as a special for Sunday. Mm. So that will be this Sunday, the Art of the Cantor. Now, just to get back now to we were talking about Tisha B'Av, all the different minagim. You know, we say the Eicha, the Kinot. There's also, if you get the Rosenfeld book on Kinot, have you seen it?
No.
That Rabbi Rosenfeld, he's also included in it special Kinot, which refers to the Shoah. You know,
I've seen it.
He refers to the, and he actually quotes all the camps like Bergen-Belsen, Majdanek, and Auschwitz, and all those things. Very, very well written. Rosenfeld, by the way, this rabbi, I remember him. He came to South Africa in the 1950s or 60s. He had a cousin here. I'm sure maybe some of you remember. His name was the late Stanley Cohen. He lived here in Houghton, and he was first of all lived in Cyril Dean in Clip Street for many, many years. And he was a cousin of this rabbi Rosenfeld. And this, he not only wrote this book on Kinot, but he also wrote a book on the Slichot. Everybody, I'm sure, uses that as well. Mm. Have you seen it? Published by Judaica Press.
No.
There's a Slichot by, very thick book on all the different Slichot for
you know, I think I was once in a shul where they, I think, were using this book, and I actually walked out. I had enough. There's a capacity I have for suffering,
yes.
You know, and I said, okay, I've heard it, I've got enough. But to go over and over again, and you just hear it gets worse and worse and worse.
But you
and,
know,
it's a major stress, and you know, if you're listening sensitively, and there's so much one can take.
Right, if you listen to, you know, the Yekas, the German community, they will say all the Kinot, all of them, even if it goes 3 or 4 hours to say them all. So, but and I know
but they're Yekas.
We are
from Litvak.
At our shul at Keter Torah, we say a limited amount for about a half an hour, because you can't expect people to
concentrate. Five or 7 minutes of, you know, short, sharp message, as opposed, then it becomes a struggle just, how many more pages, you know, you're on page 63, we got to get through 100 more pages, you know, and then your mind wanders into all kinds of what's work. So I'm of the opinion that you need short, sharp, reminders as opposed to just drawing it out and showing how tough you are.
Yeah, and then, of course, in the morning service, as I said, no tallis, no tefillin, you daven. You leave out quite a few of the prayers that you don't say. You say them in the afternoon, like the psalm of the day. Oh. You don't say in the morning and a couple of other things. And then after that, we do say a few of the kinot. And they give each person in the shul to say it, read it either in English or in Hebrew if you can't. And then they have a audio-visual presentation, which is given out by the Chofetz Chaim Foundation. You know, and you get different speakers talking all about it. Because, but then afterwards, you can't sit there all day. By 10, 11 o'clock, you know, you've started at 6 in the morning. You know, you really, as you said, you can absorb so much and no more. But they go on and on.
You know, these videos have become popular in observatory for many years, oft on at the night, just above night. You would do all the davening, and then afterwards there would have about 2-3 hours of one rabbi after another, and well produced. However, once again, for me, 10 minutes, I've got the message. I want to go reflect on it. And often by just going for a walk in solitude and just reflecting, I think that had, for me personally, that had a remarkable effect. Just
some of the shuls show a video, like, for example, they take videos on the Shoah. There's new video out on the life of Anne Frank, which has just been given out, etc. But, you know, that's on each individual shul. Mm. But the other community, which is completely opposite to us, is the Sephardi community.
Oh, yes. What do they do?
They don't say all the kinot like we do. They have their own kinot, different. Mm. It's a different service completely, absolutely different. Also, they also, of course, don't put on talis and tefillin as well in the morning, but it's a complete different service. Mm. So, but the Hasidim, exactly the same as ours.
Yeah.
Same as the Mitnagim.
Besides the one in Johannesburg, have you got any abiding memories of a really different kind of Tisha B'Av that you spent maybe in overseas or Eretz Israel, or has it mainly been here?
Johannesburg has been all the same. Yeah. As far as I can remember, I mean, I've been to Tisha B'Av when it was at the Jeppe Shul. Then I was at the Cyril Dean, and I've been to Tisha B'Av with the great, with the late Chief Rabbi, Kasper. It's basically all the same, you know.
Yeah.
But I've never been to Tisha B'Av in Israel. I've never been there in Israel. Mm-hmm. But
I've been there once, yes. Yeah.
And was it the same as well?
Yeah, well, you know, Eretz Israel is different to, let's say, Johannesburg, because what I did notice was that most of the shops and the restaurants, even the more secular areas, were closed. I think the secular seem to be more sensitive to Tisha B'Av because of the Holocaust. It seems more immediate.
Yes.
That's what I knew. We tried it with Tisha B'Av. We were trying to get a meal in the afternoon before, and we toured the whole of Jerusalem almost, and we couldn't find anything. They had closed that morning. So I think in a place like Yerushalayim, you feel it as the city. You feel it. Whereas here in Johannesburg, you more feel just in the shul, as you enter the shul, you don't feel it really on the streets.
Right. But can you imagine if you're in Yerushalayim at the Kotel?
Yeah.
There you must feel it. Yes. Unbelievable.
Yes, yes.
And there they go on for hours.
Yes. Right. I was on the Tisha B'Av. I actually sat there on the floor on the piazza of the Kotel. This was over 30 years ago. And it's quite remarkable to sit amongst thousands of people. I always remember that there were lots of buses afterwards, and I got a nice elbow in my rib cage by someone in the queue that was pushing ahead. But I said that's my kapora, that's my Tisha B'Av. We said that elbow in my ribs. I really felt the pain.
We're taking a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
So we are just about to wrap up, and we're just talking all about Tisha B'Av and the experiences. And I just want to remind you again that the fast comes in on Monday evening at 5:38, and it terminates on Tuesday evening at 6:05, the shortest fast in anywhere in the world. That's why all the Mishulachim come to South Africa now. There's a dearth of them now.
Yes.
Because it's so easy for them. And then Shabbat tonight, 5:21, Parsha Devarim comes out tomorrow evening at 6:13. We have the Art of the Cantor Sunday between 4 and 5. And of course, there is no Talk of the Town this coming Tuesday. Because of Tisha B'Av, there's a special program which has been prepared for Chai FM. And also, next Friday morning, we have Reflections of the Past. When does the restrictions end? Tuesday night or Wednesday? It ends on Wednesday.
But the fast ends on Tuesday.
The fast ends on Tuesday.
And I think you can wear leather from afterwards. It's
yes,
really
and you can wash
meat
afterwards. But you don't eat meat straight away.
What we forgot to mention is washing of clothes.
Washing of clothes. You don't wash clothes, really.
We're very machbid on this in the 9 days. No laundry. And we only start from lunchtime of the next day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can't shave in the morning on the Sunday, the Wednesday morning till